This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This World Environment Day special is brought to you by Volvo Cars.
It is 7:15 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Sharmila. And as mentioned, it is our World Environment Day special. So we are marking World Environment Day by dedicating a week to it. So it is, in case you're wondering, not exactly World Environment Day today. Instead, it's celebrated every year on June 5th, with this year's theme being ecosystem restoration. So growing trees, rewilding gardens, cleaning up rivers and coasts. And our station's theme is really planning for the planet. Today, we are taking a look at that, but also taking a sidestep to it slightly, because we're talking about the people who document, the people who talk about the work that people do to plan for the planet. And those are the journalists, the documentarians who work in the field.
And I think I would dare to say a slightly underappreciated group of people, because really, when it comes to the climate crisis, when it comes to issues to do with the environment, a very important part of it is to be able to make it both impactful but also relevant and understandable. And as we see with many parts of the world, how difficult it can be to talk about this without triggering very emotional responses, but also just flat out denying that something like this is happening. And so I think environmental journalists sit in a fairly important but also complicated space of having to, on the one hand, keep talking about something that people often find difficult to deal with, but in a way that continues to hit that message home. And I certainly have a lot of admiration for environmental journalists, because I'm not sure how you keep your passion up, you know, and that's something that I'm very much looking forward to hearing about.
Yeah, I think especially because there is also a sense of we already know, in the sense in terms of the planet's in crisis, we need to do our part. You know, these are things that are drummed home constantly, right? And so the way of personalizing it, of making it feel relevant and immediate, I think that often falls to the communicators, that often falls to journalists and the like. So we are going to be speaking with one such journalist, one such writer. Joining us is Nadia Rosli, who is a freelance journalist and communication specialist, has a wide experience in conservation with WWF Malaysia, Animal Projects, Environmental Education Malaysia, the Earthworm Foundation. And as of now, as of 2020, she is the project director at Internews in Malaysia. So Nadia, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you for having me.
So let's start with how you decided on writing about the environment being, you know, your main focus. How did you arrive at this decision?
Yeah, so I've always been interested, you know, in topics about environment, about the ocean, particularly from very young age. I joined Bernama TV, which was my first job, where I had to cover all type of news. So it's quite normal to be a generalist, you know, when you're a journalist. There wasn't any environmental bit, of course. Frankly, there was editorial disinterest in environmental topics, because when you have such lean newsrooms, you don't have resources and time to report more in depth about the environment. So about a year in, I noticed that environmental issues weren't prioritized. So usually it's the politics and general news. So I had a strong concern and curiosity for environmental topics, but I needed to get editor buy-in. So I spent actually my weekends to work on special reports. I invested extra time to do these stories. And I also make sure I checked all the assignments that were coming in and kind of pushed to cover stories about environment. Thankfully, my editor at the time, Abdul Rahman Ahmad, who's currently the Bernama editor-in-chief, he allowed me to pursue these stories and kind of made me the de facto environmental reporter, mostly because I was quite annoying. So I learned on the job. I spoke to environmental experts, and I learned to understand the issues that were being covered and also the non-issues. Because I wanted to be in the front line of environmental conservation, I then joined some NGOs. And I got to appreciate the work from a more technical research and policy perspective, and that environmental and conservation, it goes beyond animals and plants. So there are other related issues such as economics, politics, education, and so forth. Yeah.
Nadia, you mainly write about that intersection between science, nature, and culture. Talk to us about that.
So after I completed my master's, which was in environment, culture, and communication, I had a bit of an existential crisis. So I've always loved an interdisciplinary approach to learning and writing, but I wasn't quite sure how to go about this. And I've been working as a freelance journalist for a few years. And in 2017, I was selected as a professional fellow at the World Conference of Science Journalists. And that was a major turning point because prior to that, I didn't really have proper scientific knowledge and training. And I've always loved science, even though I'm not from a science background. But it made me understand that to be a good environmental journalist, you need to disseminate accurate scientific information about complex scientific issues. And after attending that conference, it gave me the confidence to pursue science-based stories about the environment. And with my background in conservation, I've learned to appreciate the role of culture in connecting us to the environment. So the story of our environment is culturally diverse. It links back to our identity, to our living landscapes. It's shaped by cultural belief and practices, our history, our heritage, our local ecological knowledge, and so on. So culture is an amazing entry point to these stories about nature. So I focus on telling stories about, you know, daily rituals, what's usual and close at hand, speaking to local scientists, characters, and personalities. So the cultural lens offers a breadth of stories I can explore. And whether you believe or not, there's high demand for these stories, especially from Malaysia and Southeast Asia as well.
Right. And that's what I wanted to know, whether you've seen interest in environmental stories growing over the years in the time that you've been covering it.
I would say the interest is definitely there, but I'm not sure whether much has changed in newsrooms in terms of resources, training and support for journalists to specialize in environmental reporting. But you still have smaller local news outlets like Sinar Harian, you know, doing investigative series or reports on a particular topic about the environment. And you have more digital platforms now where you can engage in a discussion around these issues and sometimes directly with the scientists involved in, like, you know, climate science and so on. You also have citizen journalists now. So a lot of local issues are raised by the communities directly. And interestingly as well, we have science and environmental journalists who have kind of self-organized themselves to have mutual support. So you see a lot more blogs, resource, training materials and workshops dedicated to transfer this knowledge. And myself, I'm on a Facebook group with female science journalists, and they've been a major inspiration to me just in terms of story ideas and encouragement.
And I'm actually really curious to hear more about what the scene is like here in Malaysia. You mentioned a few platforms earlier, but what is it like covering the environment here in Malaysia? What are some of the challenges?
So I would say the main challenge is actually shifting that narrative from, you know, just focusing on problems that we usually see in news stories. Or stories merely on wildlife or things that focus on news values like proximity or timeliness. So that's a major challenge because there's, like I said, a breadth of topics you can explore, but we're still only writing about very few of them on the environment. And also, we still like to quote authorities or government when it comes to these issues, when we could actually be looking for credible sources from scientists, from experts, from grassroots communities who are directly impacted by these environmental issues. And also issues on urgency on issues like climate change. While we see there is some form of urgency, but it's still not that mainstream yet. So we don't see it on the cover of newspapers. And also we don't see a lot of stories that have that intersection where environment is linked to health or linked to business or linked to sports even. So yes, so we have these challenges still.
And, you know, there have been concerns that constant news and coverage of climate or environmental issues could potentially desensitize the audience. What would you say are some effective ways to connect with your readers?
I would say that I personally use the approach of solutions journalism for my stories. And this is basically introducing five elements into the articles that I write. So to get away from that problem focus that we have for articles. So first, you want to obviously state the problem, but then you want to talk about solutions. How do you implement solutions? And also, what are the results and insights, you know, from successful case studies? And also, we want to look at bright spots or basically instances where science has influenced policy and practice. So this instills optimism. And we want to amplify as well, you know, the positive stories, the successful stories. and how do we see this being showcased either in Malaysia or elsewhere? And also, I also personally look at the importance of representation and diversity. So, you know, we have all these local scientists that we can highlight, that we can talk about, all these, you know, orang asli defenders that are doing a great job, you know, being the front line in terms of illegal logging. And also framing is important as well. Like I mentioned, how do we make sure these stories are just not seen as environmental stories, but it's something that you can read about in a lifestyle section or something you can read about in, you know, in economy. So, yeah.
So I find that interesting, right? Because when you talk about offering solutions, is that sometimes challenging when so much that has to do with actual impact? We are talking about huge policy changes and changes on a macro level. How do you hammer home that there are still things that people can do?
Yeah, definitely. I think it's hard to think about something when the scale is so big and so complex, something like climate change. But if you write a story that's more, localized, something that definitely talks about how this issue directly impacts livelihoods or their day-to-day. So I think you can make that connection. And readers as well, I think you need to offer like a call to action at the end of your story, something that can inspire action, whether it be, you know, if you are creating awareness to your story, but you kind of also want to lead them after that to say, what else can you do beyond, reading this article? How do you take the next step? So I think solutions are definitely important, but it's also important to make sure those solutions are practical. Those solutions are also achievable, and it's not so daunting for, you know, everyday people to kind of implement them themselves.
Nadia, we just have a couple of minutes left with you. As a station this year, we're focused on planning for the planet. I'd like to know, you know, especially with the solutions-based approach, what plans would you like to see in place to preserve and protect the planet? What are you personally doing?
Personally, I like clothes, but I am definitely into sustainable fashion. I think 90% of my wardrobe is now sustainable. So I'm a big fan of secondhand purchases. So that's something that we can do. Definitely also against food wastage. So I'm quite mindful of, you know, where, like how much I purchase in terms of food. I plan it out so that I don't waste at the end of the week. Also, I think eating less meat. I'm definitely not someone who's going to push for veganism because it's definitely very, very difficult for some people to do. But you can actually just reduce your meat intake in a week, and that's already reducing 40% of your carbon footprint, basically. And also to see that, you know, our individual actions will lead to collective action. And also, final thing is possibly let's not make consumerism as the, you know, how we define ourselves or the core of our self identity, and trying to find happiness in something other than consumerism.
Nadia, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you so much.
That was Nadia Rosli, Project Director at Internews in Malaysia, talking to us about being a journalist who's written about the intersection of the environment and culture. We want to know, what are your reflections this World Environment Day? You can send them our way. WhatsApp us 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio.
This World Environment Day special was brought to you by Volvo Cars, redefining freedom to move in a personal, sustainable and safe way.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.